Hi, everyone. Welcome to another exciting episode of Bloomberg Intelligence Tech Disruptors podcast. My name is Anurag Rana, and I'm a technology analyst at Bloomberg Intelligence, Bloomberg's in-house research arm. We're delighted to have Rahul Oradkar, who is the EVP and General Manager of Unified Data Services, or Data Cloud and Einstein at Salesforce. To kick it off, can we please start with your background and your current role at Salesforce?
Thank you for having me on this on your podcast. My introduction, like you said, I'm EVP and GM at Salesforce, and I'm responsible for Data Cloud and our Einstein platform, which is the AI platform. My background, I've been doing data and data-driven, as well as lately with AI-driven business applications for a few years now. I moved from a fintech in Manhattan to work for Salesforce a few years back. I've had a few startups that essentially did analytics and data-driven outcomes for CIOs, CFOs, and CTOs. I did that across three different startups. And prior to that, I was at Microsoft for more than a dozen years, working on at the ground floor of Office 365 virtualization and Azure. I spent upwards of 6 years on Azure itself in the early days of Azure. I come from engineering background. I spent a long time in simulation engineering. I'm an immigrant from India. Worked for Indian Space Research on satellites and rockets in the early days. Then moved to the U.S. as an immigrant, and been working ever since in simulation and software simulation and engineering. And I've moved into the general management ranks in the last 15 years.
That's so cool. Let's talk a little bit about Salesforce's main philosophy when it comes to enterprise data and broadly AI. And the reason I wanted to go through this thing is because, you know, last year when there was a big buzz around Gen AI, and, you know, Mark Benioff and Claire got on stage and talked a lot about how to think about AI from Salesforce's lens. I'd love for you to give us, you know, how your management team thinks about it.
Sure, Anurag. First, a few things. One, if you take a step back on Salesforce, our vision has always been to make our customers customer companies. And that has really made us the number one CRM company in the world for a long time now, a couple of decades. And lately, we have become the number one AI CRM, and we'll talk about that in a minute. So to drive that vision that we talk about making our customers better customer companies, we have this mission that we have laid out, which is CRM plus data plus AI plus trust. And if you think about it, it's a triangle. The triangle is you have data, AI, and CRM. And in the middle of it, think of it as trust in the middle of everything, right, as a nexus. So if for the last couple of decades, we have seen quite a few of these business applications like CRM and ERP, et cetera, go through quite a few changes. But largely, the transactional apps have emitted data or as exhaust. And that data has been used for analytics. And lately, in the last 5, 7, 10 years, has been used for doing AI as well, using the data. But it's more about the exhaust coming from the applications. Our vision has been to, instead of that exhaust being what is really fueling the applications for getting the applications better from an analytics perspective, that data itself and the AI that can be done on data itself is now defining those applications. It's defining those processes. So it's, in some sense, is an inversion. So it's inverted on itself. So you see this continuous virtual triangle between data, AI, and CRM with trust in the middle. And the reason why I focus on trust in the middle is because trust is our number one. It's been our core vision since the time the company started at a company level. But more importantly, at the product level, we deliver trust across multiple layers of what we deliver for our customers. And we'll talk a bit more about what exactly we mean by trust. But the idea there is that we weave it into every product, we weave it into every technology that we offer to our customers. And so that's the mission, data plus AI plus CRM with trust in the middle, against the broader vision that we have to make our customers customer companies.
So, Rahul, maybe even take a step back here and let's go around, Salesforce's little bit of history. Big product, Sales Cloud, you have a commanding market share there. Then you have the Service Cloud, again, a big market share over there. And then, you know, a few years ago, Salesforce bought Tableau with a lot of the visualization tools and analytics. So perhaps even, you know, even before we get into the data cloud and then the Einstein part of it, What things do you offer currently, as part of that structure? Do you have, benchmarking for certain industries? Do you have, what kind of analytics do you give the clients? And then, let's talk about the migration after that to Data Cloud.
Yeah, I think if you think about it, we talk about it as you've seen our picture that we show from a vision standpoint, the clock and the block. Let me explain what it means. The clock is essentially everything that we do for our customers with it. If you take a step back, it's putting the customer at the center of everything. And everything around that is what we refer to as the different aspects of the clock, whether it is Sales Cloud or Service Cloud or Marketing Cloud or Commerce Cloud, and driving analytics and driving high fidelity conversations or communications platform through Slack, and everything that we do with Data Cloud, and everything with Einstein really delivering all the AI, the intelligence, if you may, all of this being integrated, being intelligent, and we're driving that with a sense of no code, low code to pro code type environments in which our customers can take what we have and deliver it without any code to their downstream customers, but also inject their own customizations on top of it. So that is essentially the clock. And then you have underneath that, you have the block. What I mean by the block is all the platform components that help deliver this value for our customers. So that's been the integrated experience that we have provided to our customers. The idea is to provide amazing integrated experiences across all of these modalities, all of these touch points, and all of these channels through which our customers engage with their downstream customers.
Then switching over to Data Cloud, what exactly is Data Cloud? And for some of our listeners, who would be the direct competitors of this particular product?
A few shifts have happened in the industry in the last several years. First off, if you go back to the original days of CRM, we were a transactional applications, forms on data type applications on top of databases. And that made us, and we invented and we really created this metadata platform that allowed our customers to use our applications with objects that we shipped as part of the application with Sales Cloud, Service Cloud, et cetera. And also allowed them to make customizations on the fields, customizations on the objects, and also driving in-place upgrades. That was the SaaS model that we invented that created the CRM market, and we're the number one cloud CRM market in the world. So if you take that history and then you look at it from today's perspective, right, what has changed? A few things have changed. One is our customers' demand on the fact that there is the digital transformation that has gone through like cycles of digital transformation. And then second one is just the explosion of data over the last several years. Including what happened during the pandemic. During the pandemic, there was an explosion of digital channels and data. The third thing is there was a secular shift away in the market from cookies, and there was a heavy emphasis on privacy. Now, if you take all of those three conditions, environmental conditions, if you may, of things that have changed over the last several years, there was also demand from our customers, given the mass of data that they have, to bring it to life through our metadata platform to deliver better value to our customers and to their downstream customers. So given all of those changes, the thought process was our customers were building variety of different fragmented platforms and fragmented custom implementations to bring all of the harness, all of this data, and bring it to life in the context of driving value to customers. So that was a problem statement. And the problem statement manifested technically in different forms. You might need an engine to drive real-time engagement with their customers. You might want to have an engine that drives event-driven engagement with their customers. You might need an engine to do snapshotting so that you can write AI models. You might need an engine to drive analytics to look at what you can derive insights and drive actions to it, right? So all of that require, and then people are building data lakes and data warehouses as traditionally was existent, right? And all of that had to feed applications, as in the CRM type application. So that was the genesis in which we started thinking, hey, that is the value we want to provide to our customers, right? And this was primarily coming in from the customer ask. So we ended up thinking about it from that context. How do we bring and harness all of this data that sits in different silos, A, and B, how do we transform? How do we harmonize it into business objects? What does an individual mean? What does a lead mean? What does a
opportunity mean? What does a contact mean? What does a case mean? All of those are objects, right, that customers are used to. Data for the sake of data is not useful. You need to transform and harmonize it to these objects. And then once you're done with the harmonization, there exist so many Anurags, there exist so many Rahuls in the system. I mean, Rahul comes in from different touch points, different modalities, different channels, right? How do we find a unified view of Rahul and then drive insights on Rahul? As in, how has Rahul interacted with Anurag? Has Anurag gone through a lot? What did he do with us in the last 5 minutes as he's going through our website? How many cases does Anurag have open? Now, all of those are what we refer to as insights, calculated insights. Now, the most important thing that we did was we can action on that now. I can action it consistently across marketing if I'm driving a campaign, consistently on service if I'm driving service for you, right? So the actioning piece that allows us to then have programmatic actioning also actions through our application. So that was essentially the genesis why we built it, and more importantly, what it does. And I'll talk a little bit about scale, but I just wanted to give you that background as to why we built it.
It's a fair point, and I do understand the use case, but perhaps just sticking to this at this point, as you know, and a few years ago we saw Snowflake balloon up, and you know, the cloud data warehouse, where the thesis or the need was the same thing, that people need, you know, data from segregated systems, and you know, you could port that over, and then you can run analytics on it. So if I'm a big bank, and I have, let's say, for the sake of argument, I have Sales Cloud and Service Cloud. You know, why am I using Salesforce's Data Cloud? And then why am I not using Snowflake? Because it'll make me do other things as well. So I'd love to get some context around the competitive landscape also.
Yeah, we look at all of the existent data estate, if you may, within the enterprises, whether they have invested in Snowflake for cloud data warehousing, whether they've invested in Databricks for a lakehouse that does ML workbenches, or Microsoft Azure-driven data platforms, or Redshift based on AWS, or even Google BigQuery. So we look at all of these as being complementary. We coexist with them within the enterprise. The reason I say this is we make those platforms much better in the context of engaging for our customers to engage with their downstream customers. So there is a lot of that data that is sitting, we refer to that as trapped data, that hasn't been brought to life. And the whole idea that I mentioned with Data Cloud is that you bring in, you harmonize and unify, but more importantly, you drive activation and a continuous activation. It's not a static lake of water, as in we build on a data lake, but it's incidental. The lake happens to be incidental. It's a type of technology we use, but it's not a static body of water in that it's dynamic. We drive activations, whether it is through real time, or whether it's event-driven activations, or it is just journeys you want to drive through marketing journeys, for example, or you just want to do customer service on an ongoing basis where you have rich profile understanding of Anurag or Rahul when you're interacting with a customer, right? Those are all the things that are brought to life with data that is sitting not just in the transactional apps, but all the engagement apps. And you might have, for example, engagement data that is sitting in warehouses and lakehouses, as an example. One of the biggest automotive customers actually looks at all of their engagement data that's coming through IoT signals. Like, for example, if you sit in a vehicle, you turn on the vehicle, and you run, and every time there's an event that's occurring, an IoT that is getting into a large warehouse, lakehouse types implementation from Google, but that is getting streamed into Data Cloud, or we are also doing a virtual lookup, there's a need for it. As an example, if I've crossed 10,000 miles on a vehicle, and you want to send me, you are the manufacturer, you want to send me a congratulatory email, and that gets activated automatically, or you want to create some break fix type, create an incident, you want to open an incident and you want to alert the customer, right? Those things are happening. There's a need for all of that IoT data in the lakehouse, in the warehouse. No doubt about it. Our customers use it for different reasons, but for engaging with downstream customers, we bring that trapped data to life through Data Cloud. So in that sense, we make other lakes and warehouses much richer and much better through Data Cloud and the combination of what we do with CRM.
Yeah, and this is what's fascinating to me, is because I have had, you know, people that I know that basically said, you know, it's so easy to get data out of the Data Cloud and run whatever, you know, analytics they want to run on top of it. The thing that I'm still not clear in my personal view is, in the long run, will I be buying this data cloud layer from all the different vendors that I work with, or is there going to be a common way for me to aggregate that? You know, what's your thought on that particular use case?
So first off, we don't really stick to analytics. We go into AI and snapshotting, and more importantly, we're doing activation. We're driving engagement. We're driving downstream engagement. That's the most important aspect that I want to reemphasize. It's the fact that you use the insights, AI and BI insights, and you create cubes, and using those calculated insights, you could potentially take that and feed it into downstream activation channels, whether those are applications or programmatic activations, et cetera. And we know those. We ourselves have the number one sales cloud, service cloud, like you said, marketing cloud, et cetera. We can feed it through that, or our customers are building their applications on top of our platform to engage with their customers. So that's where we are bringing data to life. Essentially, what I'm saying is that it's just this fantastic product that's bringing in trillions and trillions of data, rows of data, on a monthly basis to bring a value to our customers who are driving activation downstream. Now, if you're a customer and you're driving and you're buying warehouses and lakehouses, there's a good reason why you're doing it. There's a good reason why you could be doing it for a variety of different reasons as to you're collecting data, you're harnessing data, you're driving research, you're driving a variety of different reasons. That's, I'm sure as a customer, you would do that on an ongoing basis. But how do I bring that data to life through all of these activations I referred to, right? In that sense, think of Data Cloud as a binding layer that binds all of these different silos in which you engage with your downstream customers, right? So that's the binding layer. The binding layer brings to life all of these warehouses, lakehouses data that I'm talking about.
Fair point. So how are businesses using their first party data to better engage with their customers?
Yeah, I referred to the IoT example. Let me actually use a few more examples. Very distinctly different. These are publicly referenceable examples. Let me use three or four different customers and talk about it in the context of value that we are creating for our customers, right? So let's take a smaller fintech, a banking customer out of Brazil. That's known as Banco Inter. And this is a company that has got six downstream businesses and multiple, six is I think what they have, but multiple different downstream businesses, whether it's consumer banking or whether it's mortgage, et cetera, right? They did, before Data Cloud, they were running engagement with their downstream customers with signals of data that they were getting through web and mobile, et cetera. And then after Data Cloud, they brought in all of those signals that I referred to, whether it's web and mobile, they just instrumented using our mobile SDK and our web SDK. It's simple to instrument it and bring in all those signals. And they harmonized it and unified it. And using the harmonized and unified view, they drove some insights. And using that, they did the segmentation. And downstream, they started activating, whether it was for campaigns or whether it's for customer service, et cetera. And after they had Data Cloud that is harmonizing the data across all of these channels of data that's coming in, and also all of the channels through which they're engaging with the downstream customers, they got 35x better engagement. And they, because of the amount of money they were spending in driving these engagements, and also the human capital they were spending and stitching all of these signals together through various different means, and also the value they were creating to the downstream customers, they claimed that they got 20x ROI with a 35x better engagement. That's an example of a banking customer. There's another one, a big one, FedEx. FedEx talked about it in their earnings call. So the interesting thing about FedEx is that they have a variety of different data streams that are coming in. They wanted to look at an integrated view, operational view of all the data that's sitting out in different lakes. This is an example of us coexisting with other lakes and warehouses. There, FedEx runs on a big hyperscaler. I don't know whether they publicly talk about this, but it's one of the big hyperscalers. And we coexist with their data lake. The idea is to bring in all the data that's, as an example, they have campaigns that they run for, whether it's local domestic shipping or international shipping. They want to bring in all of the data that is order data that sits in different systems and bring an integrated view as they engage with the downstream customers. They talked about it. Their idea is to bring sales, service, marketing, et cetera, all as an integrated view from FedEx. That's another example. The third one from an entirely different industry is Ecolab. I think you know Ecolab. It's a company in the Midwest. They wanted to unify sales, service, and e-commerce data in a single platform. And the idea was to create and activate a single view of the customer with Data Cloud. And they're also using MuleSoft to bring in data too for that. And the increasing the engagement with a connected experience, boosting field reps' efficiencies. Essentially, they're going through a digitalization exercise, and it's accelerating it. They talked about it. They got the 3x increase in online order value, and they got about 15x more orders placed year over year through the integrated experience that they're providing. So these are some three distinctly different examples. Of course, there's tens of more of these examples. One is the banking one. The other one I refer to FedEx, which Interbanco and FedEx and Ecolab. Does that help?
No, it does help quite a bit. Thanks, Raul. You know, Raul, a few years ago when Salesforce bought MuleSoft, there was a lot of discussion about customer 360 and the whole vision of that. You know, for a lot of listeners who are not familiar with what MuleSoft does versus what's your newer, you know, product suite is, would love to get a little bit of, I would say, differentiation between the two.
Absolutely, Anurag. MuleSoft is totally complementary to what we're doing with Data Cloud. MuleSoft does three things. It's an iPaaS platform that does connectivity and brings in data at high volumes, high scale. It's of course, it's a leader in its segment, in the iPaaS segment. They also are leaders in delivering an API platform and RPA. Those are the three areas in which they really operate, broadly speaking. Those three areas, they are complementary. The automation part of it is complementary. Let me take a step back. From an ingest standpoint, Data Cloud has more than one way of ingesting and processing data. Whether you want to bring in data, or you want to bring in data and cache it, or you want to just federate data in that, I'll just look it up in your store and I don't need to, I just can mount the data in where you are. Most of our customers, for reasons that they want performance reasons as well as bringing in, they mostly bring in data, but some of them are choosing to do the zero copy that we refer to. That's an innovation that we drove in the industry. We should talk about that in a minute here, zero copy innovation. But coming back to MuleSoft, we need to bring that data into the system, into Data Cloud as a system, and into the Einstein 1 platform. And MuleSoft is got hundreds of connectors that are connected to various different applications and various different platforms. We use that natively inside of Data Cloud to bring in data into Data Cloud. So that's one aspect of it, in that it's complementary. The second one is on the egress side. When you're driving actions, you need to drive automation. In addition to us driving actions through our applications, you also might be wanting to drive automation on your website, as an example. You might be driving automation to reach another customer in a different modality or different channel other than the ones that we provide as first-party applications. You might want to write your own code to drive automation. That's on the egress side. And MuleSoft provides us the platform to drive that egress automation as well. So it's complementary in that sense.
So let's now dive a little bit about how the Data Cloud is integrated in the Einstein 1 platform. So, you know, perhaps now in totality, explain how the two, product families work together.
So you should think about the Data Cloud as being the whatever I talked about, which is ingestion, harmonization, transformation, unification. That's that layer inside of deeply integrated into the Einstein 1 platform. And it uses the rich power of our metadata platform. Einstein 1, among other things, also has the rich metadata layer on top of it, right? It also has Einstein to it. It's got the underlying, like I referred to, Mule. It also has Slack for communications, et cetera. That's essentially the Einstein 1 platform that drives all of our CRM applications. So we should think about these attributes when you think about how Data Cloud and Einstein is integrated into the platform. One, it's integrated in that it's deeply embedded in there. And so, as an example, I refer to case, I refer to account, I refer to individual, I refer to contact. These are all transactional objects that sit inside of our metadata platform. The way we have built Data Cloud is deeply integrated into that platform. Now, your engagement objects, your web engagement objects, your mobile engagement objects, they're all first class inside of this platform, even though they are not transactional objects. As an example, right? You might have, like I referred to, you might be creating an object that talks about the integrated individual, but that came from different that came from different engagement channels. It might be coming from 3 to 5, in some cases, 15 different data sources. That is an example would be in Interbanco's case, or even let's take the automotive example that I use. You might have vehicle as an object, and the vehicle has all of the IoT signals. That is now first class inside of the platform. That's what I mean by integrated. We deeply integrated into the platform. Second one is think about it as being intelligent, in that now, on a continuous basis, the platform knows what changes are happening, A, and B, how the changes are being actioned upon, whether it is through predictive AI or whether it is through generative AI, how we are actioning upon those changes that are happening, and also what you're doing to engage with your customers in an intelligent way. That's the second attribute. The third is we're driving this no-code, low-code to pro-code type engagement with our customers. What does it mean? In the no-code scenario, you could now drive in the line of work. You can see intelligent predictions, if you may, propensity to churn, propensity to buy. Customers don't even need to know. It just shows up there, and it's using data that's coming in from Data Cloud, processed through the Einstein engine, delivered through the metadata layer, just shows up in your line of work. But in some cases, our customers want to configure their applications. They want to make changes to the applications. We have this notion of low code, in that they could go do that on their own. Then you have the pro code aspect, as in the pro code aspect is about where customers really want to bring in their own models. And I refer to the innovation that we have made with Bring Your Own Lake, Bring Your Own Warehouse, where professional developers want to bring in their own lakes and own warehouses, or in some cases want to bring in their own model, their own AI model on SageMaker or Vertex, et cetera. So we have seamless integrations that they can take from Einstein One platform through Data Cloud. They can take snapshots of data based on the metadata that we have, go create those, using those snapshots, they can create models and bring back the inferences into the platform. Now I can pepper those inferences through the entire surface. Think about it. I mean, you can drive flow automation with it. It shows up in the line of work. You can use programmatic aspects through Apex code, etc. Now those inferences and those predictions and those generated outcomes are used everywhere in the system, whereas you built a model somewhere else, right? So that's the pro code experience. So finally, it is the extensibility and what we refer to as open and extensible. I refer to bring your own model, bring your own lake, but we also have ISVs building applications through our App Exchange and delivering that through Einstein One platform. That's how we integrate Data Cloud into deeply integrated into Einstein One platform with the power of the metadata and the extensibility.
That's a very comprehensive answer, Rahul. So Rahul, maybe, you know, again, I think I should know this, but strangely I don't. Is Einstein, what you have, is that the chatbot itself, does it run its own large language model in the background? Is that all internal bit? You know, perhaps a bit of information on it. And I feel embarrassed that I actually don't know that at this point.
Yeah, Anurag, you should think about Einstein having several different offerings. It's more, think about it as being more of a brand, which has got many different offerings. We have been doing Einstein-driven predictions for the last 7-8 years. And on any given week, we do between 1.5 to 2 trillion predictions in the line of work for our customers. So that existed. That's been going on for a while. In the last few years, we've been ahead of the rest of the industry in driving generative AI-driven innovation for our customers. And in that sense, we built what was known as the prompt, the idea that you create prompts that allow us to then get responses from the LLMs through that goes through our gateway, that goes through our trust layer and generates response from a prompt standpoint. Those prompts are very, very focused and they're very application-centric. Then we took a step back and it's in beta. We shipped a copilot. That copilot has got defined actions, or you could have, or you could just query the CRM to drive specific actions that you desire, right? That is shipping as a copilot, and that underlying that, it uses our Einstein. It's built on the Einstein One platform, the copilot, and as well as our Prompt Studio. They are both built on top of the Einstein One platform. That is essentially doing generative AI-driven responses. An example would be summarize this email for me, or regenerate this response that I do want for our customers, or summarize this customer case that came in. Those are some examples of things that you could easily get done either with a prompt or with a copilot that we built, and that's in
beta
right
now. Got it. So perhaps then let me go back and think. If I'm a customer and I, let's say I either have Sales Cloud or Service Cloud, I, you know, I guess I buy the data cloud layer on top of it, then I can run my own models on top of that. And if I get the Einstein platform, you know, it's kind of inbuilt along with it. That's how I should think about it.
Yeah, there's two ways. Yeah, there's several answers to that question. So if you are a Sales Cloud, Service Cloud customer, and you want to use the inline predictions from Einstein, they're available for you. If you want to generate some responses, you want to create your generative AI, you would use either our prompt builder, or you would use the copilot. And we have the gateway that allows you to make a choice of the models. I refer to open and extensible. We can also provide through our gateway, we provide choices of models, but we also provide the trust layer that goes with it. The ability for us to avoid hallucinations, toxicity, the ability for you to mask if you may PII data, et cetera, all of that really goes through the trust layer. But in some cases, like your question, which is, I want to build my own models. Let's take an example of a predictive model. We have, for example, a large medical supplies company that builds predictive models on what happens to their medical devices with hospitals and doctors, et cetera. And they have all sorts of predictive scores that they built based on that. That helps physicians do their job better. That helps hospitals and doctors do their job better when they're dealing with their customers. In this case, their customers are patients. So they build their models in a large hyperscaler. In this case, they build it on Amazon in SageMaker. We have a seamless integration with SageMaker, with Data Cloud, and the Einstein 1 platform. They take our data and they use our snapshots of data, build their models in SageMaker, and then they bring back the inferences back into the CRM surface that then is available for their customers to deal with, their downstream customers, right? And these predictions, that's an example of bringing your own model for the professional.
No, it's a fair point. And this is where, you know, I think it's going to get very interesting down the road when people start using their own models on your data. And, you know, from a technology point of view, if I train my own models using some data out there, you know, I'm assuming all of that is siloed and prevented. But how does one do that in a way? Because some of these are open source models. Some of these have been trained on different data outside. How as a customer, I could be sure that, you know, the data remains isolated for that particular, you know, client or bucket?
Yeah, so it's a great question, Anurag. I think from a tenancy standpoint, we invented the multi-tenant model in the cloud. We always keep everything isolated. That's one of our core trust principles that we have. We keep isolation between tenants, and it's completely within the customer's control. First off, we provide the isolation from a tenancy standpoint, and then it's completely within the customer's control within the tenant for data from data from Einstein 1, from Data Cloud, how they use it, in what model they use it for, and bring it back. Then it's completely within their control. Not only their control, but we also, once it comes back into our trust boundary, then it's used entirely in the context of the tenant security boundary.
Thank you. So going back to the other same example of, you know, I'm a Sales Cloud customer, do I then buy a separate SKU for Data Cloud and a separate SKU for Einstein? Take me to how, you know, as a customer, how do you, I guess, upsell this product to an existing customer?
So we have more than one buying. We provide flexibility for buying Data Cloud and Einstein for our customers. We started off, let me talk specifically about Data Cloud, and then we'll talk about Einstein, the different SKUs on Einstein as well. We started off with Data Cloud as being an independent SKU that is bought in the context of independent offering, that's bought in the context of whether you want to you want to drive better marketing automation with your downstream customers, or you want to drive more integration between customer service and marketing. You can buy Data Cloud to drive that integration. So that's one methodology, or that's one mode through which you can buy it. And then lately we've been creating these packages known as the Einstein packages, and we also call it the UE. In early days, we were calling it as the UE, Unlimited Edition U and UE Plus packages. And those packages do have a combination of Einstein credits They have a combination of data cloud credits. So if you're a customer, you can get going with the entire suite, if you may, of all the products and all data cloud as well as Einstein credits inside built into as part of the package. But if you want to buy it separately, you can buy it separately.
And then, you know, just in terms of, you know, looking ahead for the next few years, where do you think, you know, how do you envision the improvements as you're thinking about A, data cloud, and B, on the Einstein platform?
Yeah, I think, so first on data cloud, we have we just announced a pilot of unstructured data. I'll give you a few areas in which we're really making some forays in the near term, at least in the next year to 2 years, right? Anurag, if you think about, you and I have got unstructured data sitting on our laptops, whether it's PowerPoint decks or whether it is Word documents. Enterprises have a lot of that. Over 80% of the data sitting in the enterprise is unstructured data. And whether it is call transcripts or whether it is data that is sitting in documents or whether it is video transcripts, et cetera, all of them related to how and what their business functions, how their business functions and what their business does. We are bringing all of that unstructured data to life. And if you think about a combination of structured data and unstructured data, combining that with our Einstein One platform, it's powerful. It's the next generation of how you engage with your customers altogether. Let's take an example. An example could be something as simple as you are a shipping company, and you have a damaged label on your shipping company, and you can't deliver it to the customer. It goes back to the warehouse. It gets unboxed. It sits in inventory. That sits in somewhere in Salesforce's, one of Salesforce's applications. Now, at the same time, the customer who had ordered it is writing it's either calls or is writing an email with the fact that they didn't receive what they had ordered it. Now, if you're a customer service agent, you're looking at a transcript of an email or transcript of a call, and you're looking at an inventory that went into the warehouse. How do you match the two of them? We can do that semantically. We built this notion known as vector databases inside of Data Cloud, that on top of it now, you can chunk and vectorize all of your unstructured data, and you can reason on that semantically. I'm not talking about reasoning on it through keyword search. It is semantically you can reason on it. Now I can say a box containing these type of books. Can you go find similar cases that are sitting in an inventory? Now I can combine the two of them. Now I can easily really service the customer as in saying, we found it, it's been unboxed, it's been sitting there, we'll rebox it and send it to you, right? That's an example of bringing unstructured data to life. And we're doing that across multiple languages. You can do that in French. You can search in French and it finds it in English. This is this idea that you have semantic reasoning. So that's the next big thing that we're doing. We announced a pilot of it. It's a long ways to go. From a generative AI standpoint, an AI generative AI standpoint, we announced the beta and we are having fantastic reception on our Copilot beta because we know how to ground our generative AI with our customers' data. So we are that much more relevant with the responses that we're getting relative to the generic Copilots that our customers, every other when competitors have been shipping, right? We are grounding it with data that is relevant to our customers and getting very relevant high quality responses, and our reception in the early beta has just been outstanding. That will continue to evolve. Then we have all of this open and extensible that I referred to, whether it's about bringing your models or bringing your lakes, bringing your warehouses. That's been our differentiated strategy as well. And then imagine our ISVs building applications on top of it. That's where we are going over the next year, 2 years. There's a lot more areas of innovation happening in that space as well.
No, very clear. We're running out of time. So my last question would be, I mean, you are the largest cloud-based application software company in the world when it comes to enterprises. Have you seen any, pickup in the demand of your core products because of all these data cloud and Einstein innovations? Have you seen, an acceleration in cloud shift? Because we always wonder that, you know, the sales and the customer service has been around for so long, we are kind of reaching a mature phase of growth in that in those product families.
One way to look at it, Anurag, is, are we making those products better? Are we making other products surrounding those products better? Like all those warehouses, lake houses that existed, we're not contributing to deliver better value to our enterprise who are using those warehouses, lake houses. We're making it incredibly hard to use that data, to harness all that data. And they required fairly complex custom implementations to bring it to life. Second, as you integrate all these channels, integrate all these touch points, and integrate all these modes in which you're communicating with the customers, we are delivering outsized value to our customers with the surfaces that they were engaging with, and we are adding to the surfaces through which they can engage. Copilot is an example. We are adding surfaces. So I think the way to look at it is not about the domain per se. The domain continues to grow like the way it is, but what are we adding in addition to that by bringing all of these things together, bringing the data to life, bringing the intelligence to life that didn't exist before in the context of putting the customer at the center of everything.
Great. Thanks so much, Rahul, for your time, and we look forward to catching up with you soon.
Thank you, Anurag. Thanks for the time.